Look at part two of our message on God is faithful that we started this morning. Talked about God the Father is faithful in our message today. And now we want to see our second part, which is God's Word is faithful. God's Word is faithful. Of course, everything we know about God, we find in His Word. So if His Word isn't faithful, then obviously, how could we be able to trust the faithfulness of God or Jesus Christ, the Savior, for that matter? So it is imperative, absolutely essential, that the Word of God be faithful and true, that we can trust it, that what it says, that we can count on, that we can put our faith and trust in what God says in His Word. Well, we can do that. I believe with all my heart that God's Word is, in fact, faithful and true. Psalm 119, once again, we saw a couple verses from this psalm this morning in our first part. As with the other thoughts that we'll be bringing, there are other verses and passages, obviously, that we could bring on the subject, but we're going to limit it somewhat to basically four thoughts on the subject of God's Word is faithful. But in Psalm 119, which, as we know, is all about the Word of God, just about every verse, with only a few exceptions, has something to say about the Word of God. So in Psalm 119, verse 138, David says here, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." Very faithful. God's testimonies. It's talking about His Word. That is where God testifies, as it were, of all of His works, either what He has done already, or those things that He planned and purposed to do in the future, in prophecy. And this verse also tells us His testimonies include all His commandments that He gave to man to keep. What David said here, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous," or righteousness, or right, "and very faithful." And so David tells us that God's testimonies are righteous or right. And they are not just faithful, they are very faithful. And I think it's just human expression that David tried to use to emphasize how faithful God's Word is. They are very faithful. And I like that emphasis that he put on that. And not only are they very faithful, but everything that God commands in His Word is right. And God never tells anybody, commands anyone to do anything that isn't right or righteous, that is holy, that is just, that is good. God's Word, if people would live by the Word of God, if nations would live by the Word of God, what a blessed place this would be, even in this old sin-cursed world. Think of the difference it would make if man could keep God's blessed Word that He has commanded us to keep, because it's right, it's good for us. And everything He said in His Word is very faithful. It is altogether true. It's pure. We talked about the Word of God in a message recently, and one of the points we made was the fact that God's Word is pure. There's no taint. There's no spot. There's no error at all mixed in the Word of God. But it's perfectly true and righteous altogether. All right, His counsels are faithful in Isaiah 25 and in verse 1. "O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." Isaiah is just kind of this overwhelmed, overtaken with this joy and praise to God when he considers God's holy word, that it is so faithful. God's word is His counsels. We can find good counsel in His Word because His counsels are faithful and true. God's Word will always lead us in paths of righteousness and holiness and blessings and virtue and honor and glory and praise and everything that's good. People seek counsel from people that are worse off than they are to try to get help to solve their problems. If they would go to the Word of God, God would teach them, God would lead them in the ways of everlasting, in the ways of joy and happiness and righteousness and true holiness. And I believe that's what is Isaiah here. He was just moved upon by the Lord with praise because of the faithfulness of God's counsel. His word of salvation is faithful. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 15. The Apostle Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now, Paul is talking about this faithful saying. The faithful saying is the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is a faithful message of salvation to lost and needy souls, and is worthy of all acceptation. There is no instance or case where any person, however sinful we may be, that has ever come to Jesus for salvation and found that he was turned away by the Savior. No, beloved, the gospel is absolutely faithful and true. And you can come to Jesus believing the gospel of his work on the cross for your sins, and he will save your soul. He will save you. He will in no wise cast you out. God's word is faithful to convince the gainsayers. In the book of Titus chapter 1 and in verse 9, the Bible says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. Where does sound doctrine come from? From the word of God. He may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. I believe that the word of God is our only weapon against the gainsayers. What's a gainsayer? Well, a gainsayer is one who contradicts or denies the truth of the doctrines of God's word, especially the doctrines of Jesus Christ and the glorious gospel of salvation. If you've ever been out and talked to people of the world, you will have probably experienced the gainsayers, those who always try to contradict what the Bible says or what you have to say about the Bible, denying that what the Bible says is true. But beloved, what Paul was telling Titus here is that the word of God, the faithful word, is the only thing that can convince men of the truth of God and of salvation in Jesus Christ. Nothing else can. Nothing else can. That's what God uses. Only the word of God is able to quicken the soul and pierce the hearts of men and lead them to repentance and faith in Christ. That's why I'm personally a firm believer in preaching the word, and try to make our messages as much as possible centered around God's word and the truth that's taught and preached in the word of God. His testimonies, his counsels that are faithful. What else can we add to that to improve upon the faithful word of God? Well, thirdly and finally, a third point we want to see is that Jesus is faithful. Jesus is faithful. I want us to see seven passages of scripture on the subject, Jesus is faithful. Hebrews 2, 17 and 18 says, "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He is able to help. That old English word succor, S-U-C-C-O-U-R, just simply means to help, to come to our aid. He is able because of the fact that he himself was tempted. He was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus earned his title of faithful high priest. Some men are given titles, you know, not because that they have done anything to deserve the titles necessarily. Some inherit their positions, all the old monarchies, and you're born a prince to become a king. That's the way it has always been, Old Testament times. All the old kingdoms back in the day, Bible times, that's the way it was. You know, the sons of the kings, generally speaking, took their father's place. But Jesus earned his title of the faithful high priest. He first came down, humbled himself, as we read over in Philippians 2, take upon the likeness of men, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But he was made like unto his brethren, yet without sin. Now, who's his brethren? Us, sinful creatures in this flesh, although Christ had no sin, but he was made like unto us. He took upon a natural body so that he could suffer infirmity. He could suffer temptations. He could know what it feels like to be a man. And he knows the feeling of our infirmities. He suffered being tempted. He was tempted more than any man. He knows what we're going through. He's able to succor. He's able to help us because he's been there and he knows what we're going through. He is acquainted with our griefs. Isn't that what Isaiah 53 tells us? A man of sorrows. He bore our sorrows. Yes, beloved, he is a faithful high priest who could bear our sins on the cross and make reconciliation for his people, where we read there in verse 17. And he is the faithful high priest who is even right now sitting on the right hand of God, making intercession for us, his people. So Jesus is the merciful and faithful high priest. And then Jesus was faithful to God over all his house in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. That word apostle that was applied to the 12 apostles means a sent one. This is here is applied to Jesus, and you notice the word apostle is capitalized here. He is the sent one. He is a one that God sent into the world. So therefore, he is an apostle in the truest sense of the word. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. And that, of course, is taught back in the Old Testament concerning Moses. Jesus was faithful to God over all his house. Now, Moses was faithful over all of his house. That is the house of Israel, the children of Israel, as he led them out of Egypt, as he led them out over the Red Sea, through the Red Sea, and then through the wilderness where they wandered for another 40 years. But he was faithful over all his house. Now, he had his times, as we might expect, with all the murmuring and complaining and carrying on that they did. It's a wonder Moses had to have been the meekest man that ever lived. That's what the Bible says concerning Moses. He had to have been an awful meek man to be able to put up with what he put up with out of the children of Israel. And he was faithful over all his house till the Lord finally took him away and took him out of here. As he looked over the promised land and saw what he wasn't able to go over himself because of his own sin that he committed. God forbid him to go over into the promised land, but he was faithful all the way to the end of his life. That's one thing, that wonderful thought to be able to be said of any child of God, that we were faithful over all our house or whatever he has put us in charge of, responsible for in our lives. We don't feel like we've been faithful over all our house. I imagine Moses might have said the same thing if he had opportunity, but I don't know. But he was a faithful man. God's word said he was. But now much more, and how much more faithful is Jesus over all of God's spiritual house today? You think about it. Jesus is the head and founder of his church. He has faithfully saved his people by his grace through the redemption that he accomplished on the cross. Through that reconciliation which he won for his people through his blood and his suffering there, he was faithful all the way to the cross. But beyond the cross, not only has he saved his people by his grace, he also has kept and preserved and perpetuated not only his people, but his churches from the time that he built his first church at Jerusalem until today. And he will continue to do so until he comes again for us. Yes, beloved, Jesus is faithful over all his house. Moses was only a type of Christ in that regard. A good type. Some types were more imperfect than others. Moses was a pretty good type of Christ in his faithfulness, but yet very imperfect compared to Jesus himself. Jesus is perfectly faithful over all of his house. Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we mention it often in 1 John chapter 1. But we should never grow tired or complacent or lose the blessedness of the thought that Jesus our Savior, as our great high priest, who is sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession. But here in 1 John 1:9, I know we quoted in our sleep probably, but it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and he is just to do so. How is he just to be able to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of our sins and unrighteousness? How is he just? Well, he's just because he was the just for the unjust, because he took our sins upon himself on Calvary and paid for those sins. He suffered that we might not have to suffer. Therefore, he can forgive us on the merits of his own blood when he died on the cross for our sins. He is just in his forgiving us. Not that we didn't sin, not that we don't deserve judgment and wrath, but Jesus took it all out of the way. Therefore, he can justly forgive us our sins. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, we talked a little bit this morning about how that we still sin and fail our God as the Israelites did, as we saw back in Old Testament times. And we likewise still do so. We still sin against our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But praise be to God, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for all our sins, every last one of them that we ever did or ever will commit. And therefore, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Thank God we have a Savior who is able to do that and willing to forgive us of all of our sins. Now, this is talking about daily cleansing, as the Old Testament sacrifices that we offered daily were for daily cleansing of sin. It typified Christ who gives us daily cleansing of our sins. But all of our sins have been forgiven. They've all been paid for. Jesus died on the cross for us. It's good news. It's good to know that we're covered by the blood. He abided faithful even when we failed. Jesus is the faithful witness. Revelation, we're getting to the back of the book now. Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 5. Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 5, John, the author of the book, of course, as he was moved by the Holy Ghost to write, he said in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The faithful witness. Jesus Christ was a faithful witness. Hard to find a faithful witness among men. We're not to bear false witness. That's one of the commandments, isn't it? There's a lot of false witness bearing going on in our world today. I'll tell you what, Jesus never bore false witness. Everything that Jesus spake, everything he said was true. Jesus is the faithful witness. He was the faithful witness of his Father when he was here upon this earth. He was faithful in teaching and preaching the truth of God's word like no one ever has done. No man spake like this man. He had all the right interpretations, didn't he? Jesus, the living word of God, has absolute and perfect knowledge and understanding of God's word. And everything he ever taught or preached was true and faithful. They could never find fault with anything that Jesus ever said. They always tried to catch him up in his words, but they couldn't do it. The living word couldn't be caught up because he knows all things. And he is the faithful witness of all prophecy concerning all things that shall come to pass through the end of this world and even into the world to come. Jesus is already there. We can't comprehend eternity, but God encompasses time in eternity. God who knows the end from the beginning. And Jesus, likewise, he's already there. We've already read about everything as it's going to unfold and happen in this prophetic word. He is the omniscient, omnipresent, an omnipotent Son of God. There is nothing in this life or in the life to come that he doesn't know. Beloved, there is nothing that Jesus doesn't know. The expression, there's power in knowledge, could never be more truly said of anyone than of Jesus Christ. Nothing he doesn't know, and there's nothing that he has not foreordained, even from eternity past. So Jesus is the faithful witness. We can count on everything that he said to be faithful and true. Will we believe him? His name is faithful and true. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. I like this because this passage declares that Jesus is, in fact, faithful and true. In Revelation 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Jesus is the faithful witness. He was the faithful witness of all that has ever taken place on this earth. But what an appropriate name that we see given to our Savior, Jesus Christ. What an appropriate name for Jesus. He's faithful and true over all his house. He's a faithful witness to God. He's a faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God. What an appropriate name. Jesus, faithful and true. And here in Revelation 19, Jesus is about to complete and bring to fruition all the glorious prophecies that God's men have prophesied down through the ages of man's existence. And Jesus was approaching the final battle of the ages from the realms of glory on that glorious white horse. And the last of last days, the King of Kings, as he comes back on that final descension from glory on that white horse, The last of the last days, God's word reveals him, this most worthy and well-deserved name of names, as it were, which is faithful and true. Now we know Jesus had many names. He was also called in this chapter King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he was called the Word of God. That goes right along with faithful and true, doesn't it? Yes, he is the Word of God. He is the faithful and true Word of Almighty God. Jesus, coming down to chapter 21, certified that the words of the prophecy of the end times are true and faithful. Revelation 21, verse 5. Revelation 21 and verse 5 tells us, says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." What a statement. What a wonderful, blessed, glorious statement from our Lord. "Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Jesus spake these words for our benefit and for all the people of God who are still on this earth, in this world. He is going to make all things new. And he said these wonderful and glorious words to ensure his people who have put their faith and trust in him that we will most certainly bring all these wonderful things to pass. You know, whenever we doubt and whenever we wonder and whenever we start losing hope, just look at this passage of scripture. Write these words, for they are true and faithful. He will most certainly bring these things to pass. And all his people will inherit all the blessings of heaven that he has promised us down here on this earth. Sometimes we can't wrap our minds around what heaven is going to be like. And it just seems like a dream. But beloved, one day, you know, when he spoke this, he was speaking this in the future from the throne of glory. It's already happened. Is it in the mind of God and the purpose of God? It's already a done deal. It's finished. And we have come to trust in Jesus as our Savior. We won't be disappointed. He won't let us down. In the final verse, we'll see the angel said that the words of this prophecy are faithful and true. And Jesus confirmed it in Revelation 22 and in verse 6. It says, "And he said unto me," that's the angel speaking to John, says, "These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." Verse 7, these are the words of Jesus. He says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book." I come quickly. I come suddenly. That's the idea. We get so laid back and complacent, you know, as we go through life. We've been hearing about Jesus coming ever since we've been a Christian, and preachers have been preaching it, and we're still preaching it, and he's still not come. Where is the promise of his coming? The world says, as Peter talked about over in 2 Peter chapter 2. But I tell you what, all of a sudden, one day, he that shall come will come. Just like that. Suddenly, when the world is least expecting his coming. That's what he said. We're going to be caught unexpectedly when Jesus comes again. That's why he gave us all those parables. The parable of the 10 virgins, and there's several there. Parables that are for the teaching of warning and admonishing God's people to be ready. Watch, I say unto you, as I say unto all, watch, be ready. No, he didn't come in all those other people's lifetimes, but will he come in ours? Watch, be ready. He's going to come suddenly in the moment when we think not, when the world's fast asleep in their sins. Well, the angel spoke these words concerning the prophecy of the book of Revelation, and Jesus added his final seal of confirmation of the veracity of this book and encouraged his people to keep the sayings of the prophecy and hold them. Keep, that word keep often also means to hold, to embrace. Hold them dear to our hearts. To keep the sayings of the prophecy, to hold them in our hearts as the truth of our blessed Savior, whose name is truth. In conclusion, God is faithful. We saw that in this message. God's word is faithful. God hath exalted his word above all his name. Thy word is forever settled in heaven. It is absolutely essential that God's word be true and that we can trust the truth of his word. And we can. And not only God the Father faithful, the word is faithful, but Jesus, the living word, is faithful. Faithful and true is his name. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is Jesus to bear the name faithful and true. Because God is faithful, we can believe him and we can trust him in all things pertaining to our eternal salvation. We can trust him with our souls. We can believe on him. He's faithful. He's true. We can trust him, all things pertaining to all of his promises. Jesus just said that here in chapter 21 of Revelation. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. All the promises of God that he has given to his prophets and to his saints down through the centuries are going to come true. And not only that, but also, and this is for any who have not come to faith in Christ, but he's also faithful and true in his judgments. The Bible is very clear about that as well. You know, God is equally as true in his judgments, his judgment of sin and sinners. He's going to be just as faithful. Now we're reading about Jesus coming back on that white horse. What's he coming back to do? To judge and to make war, we read. He's going to destroy the old wicked kingdoms of this world that come up against him. But not only so, but we see in the final judgment at the last day, the great white throne judgment, he's going to be faithful in his judgment. He's faithful in his judgment towards us, his people. If judgment began in the house of God, where shall the wicked and ungodly sinners stand? All right, well, that's all we have this evening. Just remember that God is faithful. Times when you're having difficulties and struggles and maybe doubts and fears assail, remember God is faithful who has promised.